Take a deep breath. Breathe in the joy of Easter morning. And breathe out the fear and doubt of the night that has passed. Please pray with me. Oh God, you see us and love us just the way we are. Nudge us to the ones who need to see us today. As Easter people, we claim to live in the light, walking and talking as light bearers. Forgive us when we put our light down and forget our calling. Each time we hear a false story, let us be reminded to speak the truth. And to tell the story of Jesus, who loves everyone, who excludes no one, who calls us to protect the immigrant, to bring justice to the oppressed, and to comfort those who mourn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what have you seen? What have you heard? There are times when believing is hard. But if you're a hunter, you still believe there are deer in the woods. You may not see them right away, but you have been told that the woods is full of them. If you look forward to the opening day of fishing season, somehow in a few weeks, you believe that the biggest fish ever awaits you somewhere down under the surface of the water, or maybe it'll be the surface of the ice. If you are a student, you believe that somewhere out there you will have a career or a job, even though you cannot clearly see what it might be right now. If you were ever a child, which we all were, some believed that the Easter Bunny would bring a basket and that he would eat those carrots you put on the plate. If you're facing surgery, you believe that the doctors and the nurses know what they're doing. Some of us believe the Packers will be winners this year and that the Brewers will win their next game. We believe morning will come after night, and that there will soon be leaves on the trees and daffodils around the birdbath. We are willing to speak freely and honestly about beliefs, these beliefs, without knowing for sure the outcomes or the results. There's something about believing that is very intriguing, isn't there? There's something about believing that gives us hope for the future and lifts our spirits when we are low. There is something about believing that gives us a reason to go where we have never been and to try things we thought were impossible. There's something about believing that prompts us to share the good news and to go to great lengths. There's something about believing that if you look back, has sustained and healed and transformed us over and over again. This morning's topic of believing brings to mind one of my favorite stories. And yes, I've told this one before, but I think it needs to be repeated at least once a year. It's a story about a man who was unfortunate enough to be in a torrential rainstorm. It rained and rained for days, and finally floodwaters came up over the windows of the first floor of his house. He managed to get up to the second story and sat and waited for the rain to stop. A friend came by in a boat and wanted him to crawl out the window to get in the boat to go to a safe place. And he said, "No. I know God is with me, and God will save me." The waters grew higher and higher, and soon the man was forced to go out and sit on his roof. A rescue boat came by, And the man said, "No, thanks. God will provide." And more rain came, and the water rose, and he was soon clinging to the chimney. And just as he thought he would drown, a helicopter came by and lowered a ladder and tried to talk him into getting on board. He just insisted that God would take care of him. And it was not long before the man drowned and was standing before God in heaven. And he said to God, "Why did you let me die? Why didn't you save me? I believed in you. I trusted you." And God answered, "You may have believed, but you didn't notice I was trying to save you. I sent two boats and a helicopter, and you didn't get it." Our lives depend a lot on what we believe. Our lives revolve around and around believing. In our gospel reading today, Jesus came and stood among some of the disciples shortly after the resurrection. They saw for themselves the holes in his hands and the pierced side. And Thomas was not among them that day, and when they told Thomas what they had seen, he would not believe it. He insisted he needed to see it for himself. Now, if I were to mention the names of certain disciples to you and ask you to mention the first word that comes to your mind when you hear that name, it's likely you would come up with certain answers that were the same. When I mention Judas, what word comes to your mind? Traitor. Exactly. Betrayer. When I say Peter, what word comes to mind?
Fish.
Fisherman, yes. Pat said something.
Fisherman.
A fisherman. Okay. But what about when I mention Thomas? What comes to your mind then? Doubter. We have associated Thomas so closely with that word that the phrase to describe him, doubting Thomas, was coined. You might be interested to know that in the first three Gospels, we're told absolutely nothing about Thomas. But it is in John's Gospel that he emerges. And when Jesus turned his face toward Jerusalem, the disciples thought that it would be certain death for all of them. Surprisingly, in the Gospel, Thomas was the one who said, "Then let us go so that we may die with him." It was a courageous statement, but we scarcely remember him saying that. It's interesting then that the story that gives Thomas his famous nickname is the same story that has Thomas making his confession of faith. He says, "My Lord and my God," not teacher, not Messiah, but God. These are certainly not words of a doubter, but a witness. Those who believe are indeed the blessed of the earth. They are healthier, happier, generally more effective in relating to other people than the doubters or the cynics. It is they who move the world forward, for there is power in believing, more power than the unbeliever can ever know. Part of that power is that of vision. For not only is there truth in saying that seeing is believing, but I say that believing is seeing possibilities and seeing potential. Blessed are we, the believers. We have not seen the marks of the nails, but we still believe. We have not experienced eternal life, but we are gifted with faith to believe that it awaits us. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "What no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor human heart conceived, is what God has prepared for us." The truth that we can lift out of the gospel today is that the risen Christ has compassion upon us, believers. and those who disbelieve. Jesus does not simply rise from the dead. He returns to his fearful disciples. In the Easter Gospel, the women who went to the tomb found that it was empty. They were told by an angel that Jesus had risen, and they raced back to Jerusalem to tell everyone. Those that heard the news believed. They believed on the basis of that secondhand report. Today's story on this second Sunday of Easter is for those of us who, like Thomas, need some kind of proof. Jesus gave Thomas tangible truth. He said, "Touch, see, and believe." We have been told the stories of the gospel and have seen the marks of the nails in his hand. We have put our fingers in those marks and our hands in his side, in our mind's eye, each time we hear the story. We have seen and have heard what others over the years have done to keep the resurrection story alive. Those who have been living, breathing embodiments of faith. Think about it. How have you come this far by faith? How will you be a witness to what you have seen? How can we, like the early Christians, tell the good news? We are the ones that Jesus was speaking of when he said, "Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have come to believe." We are the ones that are called to share the news that Jesus still walks around among us today. Because he has risen, we experience God's grace here in this community of faith. I believe we will grow together with persistent prayer and worship. I believe we will thrive if mission and outreach is our focal point. I believe that we as a church can come back, invite those back who have not been active, and invite in brothers and sisters who have never been here before. As we grow in faith together, we need not set aside traditions of years gone by that have been part of this church, nor ignore the possibilities that will fill the needs of all through the course of their lives from infancy to golden age. As we hold to the mission statement of the United Church of Christ, united in spirit and inspired by God's grace, we welcome all, love all, and seek justice for all. We can say with integrity, neither height nor depth nor any circumstance can separate our friends and members from the love of God or from the gathered community of this church. What we believe and how we walk by faith is being watched and noticed. What we value most and what we believe is written in our lives. Written in the life of this church and our community this week are many stories of people who have fallen upon hard times. Sometimes they reach out for help to the Medford clergy and are provided several nights' stay at a local hotel. Sometimes the Methodist Church helps in their mission to give mattresses and beds. The Baptist Church has helped people with housing and down payments on their rent. The Salvation Army uses their funds to help people in all sorts of needs. And social services helps folks find housing. Ruby's Pantry helps with food. I believe that is our calling to help those in need to get a new lease on life each time we are being presented with an opportunity. As our bulletin cover shows us, marks of faith. Faith in God's people placing people right in front of our noses that we might help. Like the man on the roof in the flood, God is leading us in ways to reach out to those in need. And not only to talk the talk, but to walk the walk. We either know from experience or at least have an idea of what it is like to start out with nothing. Hear this from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 4. The community of believers was one in heart and mind. None of them would say, "This is mine," about any of their possessions, but held everything in common. The apostles continued to bear powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and an abundance of grace was at work among them all. There were no needy persons among them. Those who owned properties or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds from the sales and place them in the care and authority of the apostles. And then it was distributed to anyone in need. This morning, I'm probably stepping out of my boat into deep water when I ask what I'm going to ask. And no, I'm not going to ask you to sell your houses and give the profit. But since we have had the conversation about being an immigrant welcoming conference in Wisconsin of the United Church of Christ, and since we have no pastor's discretionary fund to assist those in need, nor mission line item on our budget, and since on occasion people have told me if there's ever a need, let me know. Well, here I am letting you know that it is the time for this purpose under heaven. I'm asking you today if you could possibly give a couple dollars so that we as a church can help someone whom God has placed in front of us this week. It's a person who is in desperate need, who has nothing. This person has just attained a job, but won't get paid for another week. This person has been helped with housing and just moved in yesterday. But I feel that this person needs some monetary help as well. Until then, the collection plate will be in the center of the aisle as you walk out today, and if you can see it in your heart to help with a couple dollars, it would be appreciated. There's something about believing that should encourage each one of us to jump when there is a need. We are witnesses of God's word in Jesus Christ. When God sends us a boat to save us from the floods of our lives, then it is our true calling to also throw a life vest to anyone that we can find that is also sinking. This is how we can be the church and be the best believers we can be. We walk by faith, and this is one opportunity of many to walk the walk and talk the talk. From this day forward, as needs arise, I believe that we can help, and I will be asking you to help. We are finished taking those phone calls and telling the needy to go somewhere else. We Easter people are going to work at being the church. We're actually pretty good at believing, aren't we? I don't know about you, but I'm done just believing. Please stand and we'll read together what we believe. We believe in God, who brings sunshine after rain and works healing in the midst of pain, who looks into each soul with love, touches each memory with blessing, and longs for us to know we are beloved, who splashes the world with springtime color and fills the air with the singing of birds and the roar of the ocean, who meets us at the tomb of our fears and sends us out with hope and joy. We believe in Jesus, the risen Christ, the friend of the forgotten, Savior of the world, who loves us without judgment, yet persuades us to change, who joins us as we walk and work with the poor and oppressed, who befriends us when we feel lonely, surprises us when we feel bored, prods us when we get complacent, who loves all children, dances with the elderly, shows compassion to the dying, and blesses the breaking of the bread. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who weaves us into communities of faith of all ages, nations, and races, who is the stillness in every silence, the breath in every deep sigh, the love in every tender embrace. We believe we are called to be an Easter people, challenging despair with glowing hope, acting peacefully and living joyfully, even in the midst of harsh realities. We believe in the church, the hand-holding, heartily singing, and passionate, caring fellowship of seekers and finders. This we believe. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Holy God, the power of your love continues to surpass all our understanding. We say we believe many things. We now ask your help to also do what we believe, to live as true witnesses of the resurrection. Yes, we have doubts, O God. We have fears. We ourselves have needs and wants. Strengthen our faith and calm each fear as you help us to be assured that you are with us right here and right now, enabling us to do the right thing as your disciples. Bring to us those whom you know we can help. We pray for all those who are in need of healing. Keep safe those who serve our country at home and in foreign lands. Accept our humble thanks for each blessing that has come our way. Lead us to be courageous, generous givers and helpers through Christ who strengthens us and makes us courageous. Hear now the prayers we hold in our hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, whose coming is a mystery, whose life is a miracle, and whose ministry in word and deed and death is salvation. We pray together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.